question.
I want to continue a thought that we have looked at the last couple of weeks concerning the acts that God made known to Israel, the works, as Psalm 103 says, and then the ways that God made known unto Moses. I certainly hope that as we emphasize the ways, that no one would leave thinking that I am underestimating the works. I thank God for His works. I think works are evident, fairly obvious. You see the works of God. Ways, on the other hand, well, they're not as obvious. I think they have to be sought after. I think we've seen Moses doing that, and I hope you have your Bible still open there to Exodus 33. Kind of got into Exodus when we were in Psalm 103 and I was going through and I came to that verse 7 that he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. And there's a big difference. I really don't know that there's probably, I don't know, I think I can say this without hesitation. Probably everyone in here has in some form or another seen the acts of God. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. Just go outside and just look and you see the works of God. However, and this 33rd chapter, chapter 32, 33, 34, the book of Exodus is, I mean, it's a gold mine. It is just something that I've been intrigued with for many years. And I'm still learning from this passage. Sometimes it's a little, sometimes it's not so much. It's what I learned that what I am asking God to help me to experience. It's one thing to know some things, but it's a totally different thing to experience those things. And I don't want to get just content with knowledge, you know, that some things that I know about God. I want to experience those things. I know God is love. I don't think that there would be anybody here today that would doubt that. The Bible says that God is love. But see, I have experienced that. And it just takes it to another level. The songs, both of them, but in particular the last one that was sung, talk about the goodness of the Lord, the goodness of Jesus. Now, I know God is good, but I have experienced the goodness of God. Amen. And it's just different when you know and experience. And as we come to this passage of Scripture, I'm interested in honing in on a couple of things that I hope will be a help to you. I want to do just a little bit of review to help you to understand what's happening here. Moses had gone to the top of the mount to receive the Ten Commandments and the blueprint for the building of the tabernacle so that God could meet with man, so that God could settle in and he could meet with them and communicate with them, and then ultimately that this tabernacle would become not just a meeting place, but it could become a basis for the sacrifices that would be offered. And we find that in detail over in the book of Leviticus. It's very important that you understand that, and here's why. Because in verse number 7 of chapter 33, the Bible says, and Moses took the tabernacle. Now, Moses had just come down from the mountain. The tabernacle had not yet been constructed. And so Moses took his house, his tent, and made it a temporary tabernacle, which I think is just very, very interesting that Moses knew the importance of this structure. So much so that he said, I want to make my house this structure, and I want everyone to understand what's happening in this structure. And so when you read through this, you see what is happening here is that when Moses got back in chapter 32, when he's descending from the mountain, he realizes, and I'm going to just, for time's sake, I'm just going to go through this in rapid succession. He realized the children of Israel had began to participate in idolatry. They had taken off their gold and their ornaments that they had brought out of Egypt. And it's just amazing to me. And I think I'm a lot like Aaron when it comes to this. I want you to look in chapter 32. When Moses confronted the children of Israel, and in particular Aaron, his brother, he said, what are you doing? You're supposed to be a leader. And Aaron is just, I mean, he knows Moses means business. Look in chapter 32 and verse number 21. Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And then Aaron answered in verse 22 and said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. He said, he knew Moses was upset. And he knew Moses was ready to deal out some condemnation and some judgment. And so he began to backpedal, and he begins to talk. And I want you to notice what he said. He said, you know how these people are. And I'm paraphrasing. He said, you know how they are. You've dealt with them. He said, they came to me in verse 23, he said, and they said, make us gods of gold. And they brought up, the gold that they brought up out of Egypt. And they said, we don't know what's going on with this Moses. Is he even coming back? And notice what he said in verse 24. And if we're not careful, this would be our response when God or we're confronted with our sin. He said unto, I said unto them, whatsoever or whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. I mean, what a statement. Expect somebody to believe that? You were involved in molding and fashioning this thing. Please don't try to have us believe that it was something I just didn't have a whole lot to do with it, They put a little pressure on me, and I said, okay, And I just took the gold that they gave me and threw it in the fire, and then this calf came out. If we're not careful, that's the way that lighthearted, easy approach to our sin, we'll take that. And we'll try to skirt our responsibility for our involvement in wrongdoing. And that's exactly what he's doing here. Now, I want you to notice the difference between Aaron's response. You get over to verse number 30. Moses said, you've sinned a great sin. He said, I'm going to go up and talk to the Lord in verse number 30. Now, I'm talking to you about somebody who wants to know the ways of God and somebody who knows the acts of God. Aaron knew the acts of God. Aaron was there. He was, up until this point, he was Moses' right-hand man. Spokesman. And it just shows that when all you know are the acts of God and you're not seeking the ways of God, if all you see are his works and you don't know his ways, brethren, it makes you weak. You say, it would make me strong. Well, I don't know. You think it made the children of Israel strong? For 40 years, please hear me now, 40 years they saw the works of God. They were never satisfied. Nothing was ever good enough for them. They murmured and complained. 40 years, brethren. Think about that. 40 years. You say, if I could just see one more miracle, if I could just experience one more act of God, I just feel sure it would be a turning point for me. Well, I don't know. Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. I don't think so. See, I think we have to go beyond the works. That's what God does. God doesn't want my relationship with him to be solely based on what he does. God wants me to get involved in who he is. And we're going to see that here in just a moment. I've tried to point it out time and again. That's where it's at. This is what God is after. Get to know me. Get to know me. And notice what And it's because Moses did know God that he done this. He, in verse number 30, said, I'm going to go up and I'm going to talk to God on your behalf. Now, this is a man who knows some ways of God. And when he got up there, he said in verse number 31, he said unto the Lord, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. And now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and then you see that dash and that semicolon? I mean, listen, scholars for years, people that are Bible students have studied, they've studied Hebrew, they've studied the culture, and they just, it's outside of the realm of their thought. They just say, you know, we really don't have an answer for this. Moses has come to the end of himself. He's just broken. He doesn't have words. He knows what he's doing is the right thing. He is interceding on behalf. By the way, when I get involved in knowing the ways of God, I become an intercessor. I want you to understand something. There's a difference between being interested in people and being an intercessor for people. You can be interested. I can be interested in ministering to people. Interest is based off of works. Intercessory is based off of God's ways. You go through the scripture and you start with Abraham and you trace it down to people who stood before God and who interceded on behalf of other people. And you will find that these men, these women, they knew God's ways. They knew more than God's works, brethren. And so God has just really been speaking to my heart. And I even last night as I was praying, and I'm not trying to sound spiritual, I just want you to know my heart. I feel ashamed to talk about God's ways. I know far more of God's works than I know His ways. And I want that to change in my life. Now I do. And you say, well, I don't, preacher. Well, I'm going to preach it to you anyway. Because you need to know more of God's ways. Now, why? Why? Well, notice what Moses, he intercedes, and you ought to read this. You've read it. And God says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Moses. Now think about this. I've talked to you about what God said. He said, you go on to that land. I'm going to give you Canaan. I'm going to drive out your enemies. That land has milk and honey. I mean, that land is, I mean, it is a lush, it is a well-favored land. You can have all that you desire, but I'm not going to go. And then there's something that this past week as I was reading that I haven't discussed with you that I want to talk to you about just for a moment. God said, I'm not even going to send you alone. He said, I'm going to send an angel. Now, what person in this building that if God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. I've got a personal angel that not only am I going to bless you with the land, with the milk, with the honey, with the protection, with the provision, I'm going to send a personal angel ahead of you to guide you. Who wouldn't sign up for that? Hey, man. Who wouldn't say, count me in, right? You're going to send an angel? That's what he said he was going to do. He said, I'm going to send an angel. Look, if you would, in verse number 33. He said, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt unto a land which I swear unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee. And he said, I'm going to drive out all of these enemies, and I'm just going to do a lot of good things for you. Your life's going to be good. But I'm not going. I can tell you there's a lot of people that have signed up for that. Good health, nice home, good transportation, healthy family. But God said there's more to life than those things. And if that's what you want, I made a covenant with your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to keep my covenant because I'm a covenant-keeping God. But now my presence is not going to go. My presence won't be with you. And I'm glad that Moses said what he said. He said, Lord, look at it if you would now. Look at it. He said, if your presence don't go, I don't want to go. He said, if your presence don't go, he said, I don't want to go. And so if you look at verse 15, he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. You see verse 15 of chapter 33? He said, God, we don't want it that way. I can't speak for them, but I can tell you I don't want it that way. Amen. And I can't speak for you, but I can tell you I don't want it that way. I don't want it to where I just know what God can do and I can enjoy what God is doing in my life. I want to know God intimately. I want to know more about him. You see, God had told Moses, he said, I know you. And now Moses is saying, and I want to know you. So let's kind of look at this. Now, why is Moses saying this? Why is this important to you? Why is this important to me? Well, I thought about this past week. You know, if we're not careful, if all we go on, and I please don't miss this, if all we go on is the works of God, our faith will be pinned on what we see. That's a weak faith. You see, a weak faith is not based on what you can see. Because faith is the evidence of things hoped for, right? It's the things that are not seen. It's the evidence of things not seen. Is that what the scripture says? And so if all we see are God's works, we have a weak faith. What does a weak faith produce? Instability. We're up and then we're down. We're in and then we're out. We're off and then we're on. We're rejoicing and then we're mourning. Who does that sound like to you? The children of Israel. The children of Israel were this way. And our churches today are becoming this way. We're good as long as God is doing good by us, at least in our eyes, right? As long as we can agree with everything that God is doing, we say, yep, that's my God, that's my Lord. And then you let one thing go south, you let one thing happen that we don't agree with, we'll begin to say, now God, why are you doing this? And that's what I want to talk to you about today. We said that this, knowing the ways of God, it produces tranquility, which is a rest. When I say a rest, I don't mean because you're tired. I mean a peace. I mean a calm. I mean a serenity. And so I don't want my circumstances to control me. I want my faith to control me. And yet, if all my faith is based upon on the works that I see, my faith is going to be weak. My faith is going to be weak. My circumstances are going to control my faith. When my circumstances are good, my faith's going to be high. Praise the Lord. When my circumstances are not so good, then I'm going to say, now where's God when you need him? Right? Huh? And folks live this way. I'm not saying you do. I'm just saying that it is apt to happen in our lives. If all we look at are the ways of God. And so we said that the ways of God help us when it comes to tranquility, serenity. And God said, if you don't know my ways, you're not going to have my rest. Are you anxious? Were you anxious Tuesday night? Do you get anxious when things that you hope for look like they may not come to pass? Can I ask you a question? And listen, only you can answer this in your heart. If you don't get anything else out of the message, I trust you'll listen to this very carefully. Do you trust God? Do you trust God with your life? Can God do whatever he wants to with your life without you complaining? Do I? Do I trust God for my family? Can God do whatever he wants to in my family and me be okay with it? Or am I going to question when it doesn't go with what I want? You see, it's easy to say we trust God. It's easy to say we know the ways of God. But you let one thing happen outside of what we want to happen, the questions are going to come. The doubts are going to arise. You see what happens when all we build our spiritual life and our relationship with God around his works only? It causes us to be not only lacking that tranquility, but we talked about the stability. And that's what was happening with the children of Israel. And God doesn't want us to live that way. God said, I want you to know my ways. I want you to know my ways. I want you to know why I do what I do. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. Didn't Isaiah say that we couldn't know God's ways? Well, that, what Isaiah actually said was that his ways are higher than your ways. And so you got to get out of yourself and into him to really know what God's purpose for life is. See, we lean upon our own understanding, and God doesn't want us doing that. Is that right, church? You're leaning on your own understanding? I've done it. The lowest times of my life is when I'm leaning on me instead of leaning on him. Amen. I want to help you to learn what it is to lean on him, to trust him, to trust him with your children, to trust him with your finances, to trust him with your health. Ah, preacher, we've heard all that before, but are we doing it? It's not what we're hearing. It's not even what we know. It's what we're doing with what we know. Do you trust God with your marriage? Do you trust God with your health? Do you trust God with your career? Do you believe with all that's within you that God has my best interest in mind, and whatever he chooses to do with my life and the lives of those that are upon or within my family, I trust him because I know his ways. The Bible says that we're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and we're not to lean upon all our own understanding. Now watch this. In all of thy what? Ways. You reconcile your way to his way. You find out what his way is. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's one of God's ways. God's ways are the ways of righteousness. And these things shall be added unto you. And so we talked about the tranquility. We talked about the stability. Remember when we talked about the children of Israel? How that when they were come across the Red Sea, they were singing and dancing and praising God, you know. 3 days later, they had no water. And they were mourning and complaining. See, if we're not careful, that's what we'll project to a lost and dying world, brethren. Inconsistency. Oh, it's easy to dance and praise God when the waters are divided and we're walking over on dry ground. But what about when the water's bitter? Right? 3 days later, somebody said Moses went from hero to zero in just 3 days. 3 days. So what are we going to do about this? Well, I want to ask you a question. If I were to ask you to go home this week and write down some ways of God, where would you begin? Let's look at it again here in verse number. Let's go back to verse number 11. And I'm going to give you a few thoughts here. And because I don't want to get into the next section, I'll end right there. And we'll pick up there next week, the Lord willing. So the backdrop is Moses comes back. The children of Israel have sinned. He's interceding on their behalf. He sets up his own tent as the tent of meeting, as the tent of the tabernacle. He got the blueprint on the mountain, but it had not been constructed yet. And so he set up his own tent, and he goes out there, and God meets with him. Look, if you would, in verse number 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. Man, what a statement. I've done some studying. I would encourage those of you who are interested in studying the Bible to look at that word face-to-face. You know what the root of that word face-to-face is? It's very, very interesting. Does the word peniel sound familiar with you? I'm not going to ask you to turn to Genesis 32, but I would ask you to write this down. That's where Jacob wrestled with God. And when God and Jacob finished their wrestling, he said, hey, what's your name? And he said, Jacob. He said, well, today it's going to be changed to Israel. For thou art a prince with God. And Jacob called that place Peniel, or Peniel, because he said, I have seen God face to face. What's it mean to see God face to face? Can I tell you, if you'll look that word up, and it's interesting, brethren. You talking about interesting. He said that Moses spake face to face. God spake face to face with Moses. What does it mean? Go over, if you would, and look with me in verse number 14 of chapter 33. He said, my presence. You see that word? Same word as face. Search it out. He said, preacher, I don't believe that. Go home, search it out. What's God saying here? God's saying, when you get into my presence, I'll show you my face. You say, well, I can't see the face of God and live. You know what you can tell by looking at someone's face? A lot. Amen. A lot. God said, I'm going to let you look in my face. Oh, but I can't. No, not literally now. No man can do that and live. You see, you can read the face. The face will tell you if you're happy. The face will tell you if you're sad. The face will tell you if you're angry. The face will tell you if you're glad. The face tells you a lot of things. If you're satisfied, dissatisfied, if you're in deep thought or no thought at all. The face, facial expressions. And so when God said to Moses, he said, he talked to him face to face. It just meant that God's presence was there and that God was letting Moses get a read on him. He was letting him into some things. Notice the way verse 11 ends. As a man speaketh to his friend. Right? The Bible says that Moses said after that, he said, Lord, he said, thou sayest unto me, bring this people up, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send to me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. He said, God, you said you were my friend. I need to know some of your ways if we're going to be friends. I like the way Moses approached this. Do you want to know some ways of God? You say, well, how do I go about that? Well, you're not going to get it from this sermon. You're not going to know the ways of God by listening to me. Moses didn't get it by listening to someone else. Moses got in the presence of God, and then that made Moses hungry to know more of his ways. You see, our appetite will become based upon what we're feeding on. Amen. And so here was Moses in the presence of God, and God was speaking to him face to face. You know what's interesting about that? One of my favorite passages of Scripture, if I have texted you to ask how you were doing or to ask, you know, how your day is or to let you know I'm praying for you, hold your place right here and turn over to Numbers chapter 6. I have probably put this passage of Scripture when I text you. Numbers chapter 6, turn there. Because it's going to tell us something about the face of God. See, Moses talked to God face to face. And he said, I want to know your ways. I want to know more about you. Is there anybody here? Don't raise your hand. Don't speak out. Just answer in your heart. Is there somebody here that would say, you know, I really want to know more about God's ways. I know his works. His works are wonderful. But I'm not so sure I know much about his ways. What makes God do what he does? What makes God do things that he does? How does God operate? What makes him make choices that he makes and do things that he does? I want to know more about that. In Numbers chapter number 6, look if you would, in verse number 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Now look at this next verse. The Lord make his what? Face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. He said, I pray the face of God would be on you. Can I tell you, brethren, God wants to smile on me. God wants to smile on you. Look at the next verse. The Lord lift up what? His countenance. That's his face. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and what? Give thee peace, rest. This is what God wants for you. This is what God wants for me. This is what Moses is seeking. Hold your place here and go to Psalm just for a moment. Psalm 73. Psalm 73, until I started studying in Psalm 103, has long been my favorite psalm. I love Psalm 73. And you know what happens in Psalm 73? Asaph, the psalmist, saw the works of God. And you know what it did? It made him question. Just like the works of God make many question. But then something happened and he didn't question anymore. Don't miss this, please. This past week, I'm sitting in my desk and I'm reading through this and I think, wow, that's good stuff. That the Lord just, It's been here all the time, and I've skipped right over it. Didn't mean to. Look, if you would, in verse number 17. He said, you know what? When I saw the works of God in the life of the ungodly, in verse number 16, he said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. I couldn't reconcile the works of God to the things that were happening. I had questions that could not be answered. It left me in a bad state until, look the way verse 17 begins, until I went into the sanctuary of God. I got in the meeting place. And I began to learn some things about the ways of God. And you know what that did for this psalmist? Drop down, if you would, in verse number 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? I'm not interested in all the things in life. I'm not interested in all the works of God. I'm so thankful that I began to see the ways of God and I began to experience the counsel of God. God in Himself is enough, amen. That's what the psalmist is saying. God is enough, brethren. Just God Himself is enough. If I don't know anything that God has done or is doing, when I get to know God's way, that in and of itself is enough. And that's what God wants to do in my life. That's what God wants to do in your life. This is where God wants to get me. Read on with me, if you would, in verse number 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Amen. That's where it's at. He said, I went in the sanctuary and God began to commune with me and I began to commune with Him and I began to see some of the ways of God and it made sense out of the works of God. If all we see is the works of God, there'll be a lot of questions. Now, why is that as we go back and close? Exodus 33. Why? Well, I want to say this. Because I'm different than you. You say, well, that's not a big revelation. But you see, we expect God to deal with us like we do with everyone else. Now, why would God do that? I'm in a different place in my life. Listen, you know what God may be needing to deal with me on? It's my personal walk with Him. And so His dealings with me are going to be based on that, primarily. And God may be dealing with you on your Bible reading. Maybe you have robbed God and God is dealing with you with the tithe. Maybe you're weak in this area, that area. Maybe you're weak in the family area. And so God's going to deal with you there. And God's going to deal with me somewhere else. And yet if we're not careful, we'll think, well, now God ought to deal with all of us the same. And when we see God dealing with someone differently than He is with us, we say, well, now wait a minute. Is that fair? Brethren, we're different. And why God loves us all and why God will help us all and why God's goodness is available to us all. God is going to deal with us at the place of our need at that moment. And because our needs are different, then God is going to be dealing with us differently. And when we see God dealing with all of us differently, if we're not careful, the enemy will take that and say, you know what? God is not just. I'm here to tell you God is just. Amen. Amen. Just because I don't understand what God is doing in your life doesn't mean that He's not doing what needs to be done in your life. And He's doing what needs to be done in my life. I pray to God you understand what I just said. Because it will save you a lot of hardship. It will save us a lot of question and a lot of doubting God when God is dealing differently in this man's life than He's dealing in my life. We're different. We're in different places. And so God is dealing with us in different ways. And so I need to know the ways of God as it first of all pertains to me. And then as it pertains to others. So, what do you know about the ways of God? If I'd ask you to write on a piece of paper this week, this is what I know about God's ways, what would you say? Do you know where it began? I think we would begin with this word, determination. When I read the story of Jacob this past week, he said, I'm not going to let you go. I'm determined. You're going to bless me. I'm going to find out some things about you before this is over. When you study this with Moses, he just keeps coming back to it, brethren. He just keeps coming back. God, I want to see. I want to know your ways. I want to know you. Just read this. He just keeps coming back. God, I want to know more about you. You have to be determined. Now, where does it end? That's where it begins. Now, where does it end? Look in chapter 34, verse 8. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Now, there's a lot in between there, and you've got to find it. We'll talk about it next week. God literally transformed Moses' view and mind right here. You know why? Because Moses said, show me your ways. I want to see who you are, God. I want to see who you are. I've seen what you've done. You divided that Red Sea. That was, wow. That was something. Right? You turned the bitter water to sweet water. That's wonderful. You dropped the man and the quail from the sky. I've seen your works, God, but I want to see your ways. Where do you begin? I think chapter 34 is a good place. Look at chapter 34. See if you think these are the Lord, verse number 6. The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. He said, I'm going to tell you something about me, Moses. I'm the Lord. I think it's a good place to start, don't you? You know what that word means? I keep covenants. You can trust me. I keep my word. The preacher doesn't always keep his. Your best friend may not always keep theirs. But Moses, I always keep my word. That's a way that every one of us need to hone in on. God keeps his word, brethren. Amen. The Lord. The Lord God. I'm only the God that keeps his word. I'm the God that made everything. That's what the word God there is. It's Elohim. And the creator God. Then he said in verse number 6, he said, I'm merciful. You want to know about me, Moses? I'm a merciful God. I'm not going to give you what you deserve. And I'm not going to give those people what they deserve. Aren't you glad God doesn't give what we deserve? We live in a society. Oh, you deserve this. You deserve that. Brethren, if we got what we deserved, I think every one of us know where we would be this morning. But thank God he's merciful. And you go right on through here. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. He's abundant in goodness and truth. He keeps mercy for thousands. This is a good place to start. And we're not going to end there, but next week we're going to go and talk about how Moses went from determination to adoration, worship. There's steps that were taken. And I want you to go home and read this. Because I want to know more about the ways of God. And if you want to know more about the ways of God, you can. You can. It's available. You say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, listen, what did Paul tell Timothy? He said, I have no man like-minded. For all seek their own way and not the way or things which are Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? See, we're still plagued with this today. And that's what I'm trying to show. I know I am. I can't speak for you. I can't do that. But I do pay attention. And it just appears that our churches have become infatuated with God's ways, with God's works. And I could see how. They're wonderful. Amen? Let's all stand. Aren't they wonderful?
Amen.
The works of God are wonderful. I'm just trying to whet your appetite a little bit to let you know, brethren, there's more. There's more out there. The ways of God bring tranquility. They give you rest. You don't have to be anxious. You don't have to say, oh my goodness, if a Democrat gets in office, we're doomed. Listen, whether a Democrat, a Republic, or an independent is in office, Jesus is not vacating the throne. Please understand that. You say, well, does it matter then? Well, sure it matters. Vote. Do your civic duty. Pray for those in authority over you. But we don't get all out of shape because of these things. We don't divide over things. Listen, we need to understand that what really matters is the spiritual things. Now, spiritual things should spill over in every avenue of our life. But I don't want to run around anxious every time that somebody that I don't agree with takes an office or goes to another church or does that. That's just not what God wants. God wants me to stay focused on His way, not even your way. When we get our eyes off of Him and get our eyes on each other, guess what? We're going down. We're going down. We have to keep our eyes on Him, looking unto Jesus. Would you bow your head with me? What do you know about God's ways?